T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Peter King joining us on 95.7 The Game. Peter, thank you so much. At what point in the 49ers-Dallas game did you realize, wow, the 49ers are going to win this game today? We got an upset.
I think when Alex Kemp stepped to the middle of the field and looked at the camera and said, the game is over. Because... look, Tony Romo was very confident in it on CBS, obviously, when he said, that's it, the game is over. The umpire has to touch the ball. And, you know, but I wasn't so sure. And I do think I've heard a little bit of revisionist history, just a little bit, that basically says the umpire was slow in getting there. They should have had another play. And look, let's just say for the sake of argument that the Dallas Cowboys have one more play from the 25-yard line with 1 second to go. So what are the odds that they're either going to get a touchdown or a pass interference call that puts the ball at the 1 yard line for an untimed down? I would say 13%, maybe, and that's probably being optimistic. I think everybody is saying, oh, my God, they didn't get the last play. They didn't get it. Well, it's not like the last play was going to assure them of scoring and winning the game. So, look, I thought it was a fascinating, fascinating game, even though, I mean, the weirdest little factoid is that in these six games, there were zero second-half lead changes. Now, that's pretty weird. And that also says to me that, you know, hope there's a little bit more drama this weekend in the four games.
Of all the things that Dallas did not get right on Sunday, and let's not focus on the last few plays, because the number of things they didn't get right, you know, can be listed on, you know, miles of butcher paper. What was the thing that they were simply ill-equipped to do against San Francisco from the start that is ahead of all the others? Because I think there were several, and it's one of the reasons why the 49ers got to go ahead 23-7. What was the one thing that stood out to you that said, Dallas can't cope with this?
I think the thing that probably bothered me the most about the Cowboys is that this was clearly one of the biggest games of Dak Prescott's career. Without any question, anytime you play a playoff game at home and you're the higher seed, you know, it's a huge, huge game. And look, I'm not sure what all of this says, okay, because I don't want to make too big a deal out of whatever, but look, in the second half of this game, Dak Prescott threw 13 incompletions and one interception. Now, so what does that mean? Okay, what that means is that if you're throwing 13 incompletions in one half of football, you're going to be lucky if you complete 50% of your balls, okay? So you're going to waste a lot of opportunities. And to me, I think that, look, let me just say this, that Dak Prescott, I think, is an excellent human being, a really good guy, a good person. in many ways, Sunday might have been his low point in his career. And I'm not counting the injury last year. But I am saying that this team, for way too long, has been blaming everybody but themselves. Hey, the officials, they're calling too many fouls. Well, somebody had on Twitter or YouTube, I forget, they isolated all 14 calls. And I can tell you, 13 were absolutely, totally legit. And, you know, so stop bitching about the officials. Stop going to the podium afterwards and blaming other people. And stop saying, hey, yeah, I support them throwing stuff. I almost said it. Throwing stuff at the officials. And yeah. he didn't quite say that, but it was clear that he supported, you know, an angry display against the official. And so Dak did not look good on Sunday on or off the field. And I think that was really the demise of this year's Cowboys. And we can blame Mike McCarthy for this call or that call. And Kellen Moore, why you call in a quarterback draw with no timeouts, 14 seconds to go. There could be chaos. You might not get another playoff. That's exactly what happened. So there's a lot of people to blame, but I think number one that I would start with anyway, and I love Dak Prescott, but he had a bad day Sunday.
Look, it's a group that had an undisciplined season. It followed them into the postseason. Six dead ball penalties, at least six dead ball penalties. I mean, you just can't have that. And yeah, there should be some introspection, not just deflecting.
Exactly.
You can't complain about the referees when you never had a lead all day. Peter King with us here on 95.7.
No, I'm saying you're exactly right. Introspection. Let's look at ourselves and not blame everybody else. And, you know, the one other thing, and then we'll talk about the Niners, but look, everybody looks at Micah Parsons, defensive rookie of the year, unanimous, no question about it, great, great young player. But in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season, he took the cue from all of the veterans on the team, blaming the officials after games. I mean, just stop. Shut up about the officials. You know, stop committing penalties.
So Micah Parsons was one of the guys who went into the blue tent in that game. And look, blue tent visits alter the outcome of football games. It didn't seem like he was right when he got out of it. Fred Warner, you know, he went to the blue tent in that game. Nick Bosa went to the blue tent and did not return. He is in concussion protocols, and I would hate to show up in Lambeau Field without him. But if you had to, Peter, who's more important to the 49ers? Is it Bosa or is it Warner? I think they've got enough depth along that defensive line to cover up for Bosa. I don't think you can say the same for Warner.
How many people in the NFL can get around the edge the way Bosa can? I would say Bosa, and I love Fred Warner. I mean, those are two of the five most important players on this team. So, you know, it's like it's a tough choice. But I think losing Bosa against Aaron Rodgers would be a real problem in this game.
Let me ask a broader question that includes the 49ers. Of the six teams that won this weekend, who is best equipped to match what they did this past weekend in the weekend going ahead? Who's the one who gave us the truest sense of themselves?
What an interesting question. I think that I would probably say, I mean, I can't believe that Buffalo will be able to match on the road a virtually perfect game. So I don't think they can do it. And I think Kansas City is going to have more problems against the Buffalo defense and particularly the Buffalo secondary than they had against Pittsburgh. I'm going to pick a weird team, and I'm going to say Cincinnati. I don't think Cincinnati had a great game against the Raiders. I think Cincinnati is definitely capable of matching that and doing it again. But, you know, I also think that if at least one of Bosa or Fred Warner is back, at least one, and if Garoppolo's shoulder is not debilitating, and it might be, and those are obviously very big ifs, I think they have a chance to duplicate what they did. The question is that going to be good enough to win at Lambeau?
The other question that struck me as interesting from the weekend was there are a couple of teams that were cheerfully running gadget plays that you would normally expect them to keep under wraps in games that were lopsided.
Yeah.
And yet Kansas City did it. Who else am I thinking of? There were several instances of it. Is there a change in the way coaches look at trick plays as saying, you know what, let's show it now to make them have to prepare for it?
Yes.
Or is there still an orthodoxy that says, let's hold that till we absolutely need it?
Well, I think you can get different opinions from different coaches on that, Ray. But I do think, for instance, I mean, Dallas had a huge one, you know, in this game with John Fossil, and then they tried to get quickly to the line of scrimmage, remember to force, the 49ers to use a timeout or whatever. And I don't think they were ready to run a play there. But I think that coaches have gotten a little bit different as far as trick plays go. You know, they're fine with showing everybody what they have for the most part, for a very simple reason, that you still have to prepare for it. And the fact that you're preparing for it and waiting for it is going to cause us no headaches, let's say, to defend your punt rush, because you're going to be back there looking to make sure that we don't have a fake and we don't have to worry about the punt block nearly as much as maybe we would have. But I think that's an interesting play when you talk about the orthodoxy of special teams play has changed a bit, especially this year, because I believe, like you do, I think you do, based on your question, that I think there are coaches who say, you can see everything that we might do, because all that's going to do is force the 11 guys on your punt rush team to have to be concerned with everything and not just one thing.
Peter, we've watched the 49ers struggle in a lot of areas, but probably the most consistent area of struggle for them all season long has been special teams. Much has been made about special teams. If Rick Bisaccia is not retained in Las Vegas, should the 49ers reach out to him and say, look, we got a complimentary associate head coach title to give you too, but we got to get our special teams straight. And Kyle doesn't prioritize it, so that's your job. You come in here and you fix it. The Raiders have had good special teams throughout his coaching career, which, if he reports for duty next season, will now span 2 decades, 20 years in the NFL. I think he makes a lot of sense for the 49ers, only because the last thing Kyle needs is another up-and-coming coaching whippersnapper who is looking to leave on the first thing smoking out of town. Bisaccia has been in the Bay Area. Maybe he wants to come back.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad idea. I think when Mike Mayock got whacked yesterday, it increased the chances that that Rich Bisaccia would not be kept, even though I think he and Mayock have done a very, very good job. You know, look, I don't really know Mark Davis. I just know him vaguely. But I have no idea who he's listening to, and I don't know what he's going to do. But if Bisaccia is on the street, there's a bunch of teams. He's done a lot for his individual resume this year, and my feeling is that he would be a great find for a number of teams, and clearly, if you have special teams that have been an Achilles heel of your team, he will fix that pronto.
You talk about individual resumes, and we are so close to the hiring and firing process that we are a little bit biased. So can I ask you, what is the nationwide perception of Jimmy Garoppolo's resume right now?
You know, I've had this fairly strong opinion. I've had a twofold opinion about Garoppolo. Number one, if I were the 49ers, I'd really try to hang on to him, because I think what he gives you is the ability to not have to rely on something uncertain at quarterback in 2022. I know there's about one of a thousand 49er fans or whoever who would agree with that. That's just how I feel. I think that one of the 10 most important players on your team is the backup quarterback. I've always thought that way. So having said that, I think that there is still, despite the fact that you saw that late game interception, despite the fact that now it looks like his shoulder is hurt, despite the fact he's hurt a lot, I still think there's a good chance, a very good chance, that if the 49ers want to get a one for him, they could. Now, a lot of people will say you're out of your mind. They'll never do that. I talked to Jimmy for 10 minutes after the game the other night, and there is absolutely no question that he is playing at a significant advantage. On my podcast, which drops tomorrow, I asked Paul Burmeister, my partner on my podcast, who, you know, people might have heard of Paul Burmeister in your audience, but no one would know that for 2 years in the 90s, he was the quarterback for Hayden Fry at Iowa. So he was a Big Ten quarterback for 2 years. And I just said to him, hey, specifically, I want you to go through this with me. I want you to show me on the football how important the thumb is. And when you hear that someone's got a torn thumb ligament, and is really having to readjust how he throws. So Paul held up a football, and he showed where on the top of it, he said quarterbacks put their fingers in different positions on the top of the football. Some want to be closer, their hand closer to the nose of the football. Some want to be nearer the middle and all that. But there's one thing that's absolutely rock solid for every quarterback. There's only one way to keep pressure on the football, on the bottom of the football, and that's with your thumb. If your thumb hurts and you have a significant thumb injury, which Garoppolo has, I'll just tell you, it'll definitely affect how you throw the ball. And he made this other interesting observation. He said, knowing how the NFL works, I would not be surprised if Jimmy Garoppolo before this game was medicated so that he would not feel pain when he threw the ball. But usually by halftime, that is starting to wear off. And he said, I watched this game, and Jimmy did not throw the ball as well in the second half as he did in the first. So anyway, I thought it was really, really interesting what he said. And also, I thought that just the simple fact that I don't like when quarterbacks or when anybody just totally downplays it. And Jimmy Garoppolo told me, he said, listen, I've got a torn UCL with my thumb. Yeah, it hurts. Yeah, it's a factor in how I throw. But it is what it is. Everybody's hurt this time of year. Let's go. So I think he's being very frank with that. He's telling you, okay, they're deciding that at 78%, I'm our best option. And you know what? I believe it, that I'm the best option too at 78%. And damn it, we're going to win these games, and I can't wait to go to Lambeau. So I can't tell you right now what – I can't read the future. I don't know what's going to happen. Certainly if the 49ers won this weekend and Garoppolo was good, there's no question in my mind that somebody will step up and give a one for him. But I think because of the uncertainty of Aaron Rodgers, the uncertainty of Russell Wilson, and the uncertainty of Deshaun Watson – you know, there might, before the draft, there might not be a franchise quarterback available in trade. And look at all the teams that need a quarterback. That's why I think somebody's going to step up and maybe give more than what they believe is value for Garoppolo. But the problem is, if you don't have a quarterback, you have no chance. Jimmy Garoppolo is not a top five quarterback in the league. But when he's healthy, he's pretty good. And he's better than half the teams in the league have right now.
It's sort of a, it's almost given as gospel that the worst kind of weather for a team is wind. But is there a point at which it becomes so cold that there are things you can't do that you could do maybe at 15 degrees or 20 degrees? Is 2 degrees, which is what they're saying the Saturday night game will be, is there a point where you can't do some things, even if there isn't any wind?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. And again, everybody, I'm gonna bring up what Josh Allen did the other day, -5 wind chill, and Josh Allen essentially played the best game of his college or pro life in -5 wind chill, and he also wore sleeves, which he said, I hate to wear sleeves. I hate, you know, to have something getting in the way of throwing the ball freely. I hate it. But he said it was just too cold. And Josh Allen went out and that's one of the best playoff games any quarterback has ever played. And so you watch that game, and there wasn't very much wind on the field at all. And so I don't think that being really cold is going to it's not going to hamper Rodgers. He's been dealing with it for 15 years. But the reason I don't think it'll hamper Garoppolo is that I don't know that he ever played a 0-degree game in Charleston, Illinois, at Eastern Illinois. I kind of doubt he did. And it could be the coldest game of his life. But, you know, look, you put a coat on the sidelines, you have heaters. It's just life. And look, I poo-poo this all the time, Ray. I grew up in Northern Connecticut. Many is the day when I had to go out as a kid and shovel 2 feet of snow for 4 or 5 hours. And, yeah, it might be 10 degrees outside. But after a while, you just say, it is what it is. I hate to be Belichickian, but it's just, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. Just deal. And that's why I don't think that it would be a very big factor, unless, as you say, there's some significant wind. And I looked earlier today, and it looks like that it's going to be a little bit windy, but mostly it's just going to be, you know, in either the low teens or the high single digits.
Peter, we're
I just want to follow up real quick.
Yeah.
Because you had to shovel snow as a kid, do you have issues with your parents now?
Well, they're dead. So if I did, it would be really deep-seated.
I'm not putting that past you. I got to be honest with you.
Listen, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not saying I look back, hey, that was fun, but there was a little bit of a weird sense of accomplishment. We had a long driveway in Enfield, Connecticut, and we always used to have these little contests with the other people in the neighborhood. Who's going to get their driveway clear first? And I don't know. You're a kid. What do you know? Your father says go shovel the snow, and you go grab a shovel, and that's the way life was. It was fun.
Look, it's why there's so many well-adjusted and normal people from the East and the Midwest, because you grow up with the humility of shoveling more than you can handle in temperatures you'd rather not be outside in.
I'll tell you one other thing. You know, we had a big yard, and I'll tell you, 4 or 5 times every fall, there was an all-day leaf raking session.
The rake.
And that was no fun either.
It's why we got so many flaky Californians. There was no forced manual labor in their early developmental years. It's the truth, Peter. You know, it's always such a pleasure to talk to you throughout the year. Not only are you on top of things as they're happening, you're a living, breathing, walking NFL historian. You know how to encapsulate the important moments, and you know how to disregard the less than important moments. When we look back on the 2021 NFL season, is there a moment that you think defines it or stands out above the others to you, either for the good or the bad of the league? If you had to boil 2021 down to anything, could you even do that? Such a crazy year for the NFL.
I'll tell you, you know what? There is actually a play, or at least a game, that I am kind of fascinated with when I look at it. Okay, and that is, you know, I think when you look at the Buffalo Bills, they've had a lot of hiccups this year, a real lot of hiccups this year, and they lost a game to New England at home that was so ugly, and it was 40-mile-an-hour winds. It was awful, the Monday night game. And what I thought is the most important game of this season is going to be the rematch in New England. Because if Buffalo loses that, at best, they're going to be a low wild card seed. They get no playoff games at home. And they went to New England, and they kicked the living crap out of the Patriots. And a couple of the throws that Josh Allen made, I just said, we now see a quarterback who's taking his place in the pantheon of the great ones today. And you can't list, it can't just be, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. You've got to come up with whatever lineup you have, and he proved it again Saturday night, that Josh Allen is there. And look, there's probably 100 moments that are more significant, but I thought that afternoon, with all the pressure in the world on the Buffalo Bills, that was hugely significant.
Peter, thank you very much. Any gut feeling, would you like to even offer a prediction as the 49ers head
to
Lambeau?
Well, I mean, I'm going to the game, and, you know, my editor asked me yesterday, what game do you want to go to? And I said, I really think I want to go to Green Bay, San Francisco. And he goes, wow. He said, not Kansas City, Buffalo. I said, there's something about this San Francisco team. Like, if pressed to the wall, do I think they're going to win the game? No, I don't. But I think they can win the game. And I think mentally they believe they can win the game. And I also think that Deebo Samuel excites me like no football player in football right now.
Isn't he special?
And
I mean, it's Shohei Ohtani and him in sports right now. Like,
You know? Because he can do everything. And I like to go to a game where I'm rolling the dice a little bit. And what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, the Packers win. Everybody around the country, there's a huge national following for the Packers, so people will read me anyway. I don't know. I just, there's something about this 49er team that I think they might be able to shock the world. So I don't know. We'll see. But as I say, I think the Packers are going to win the game, but I think the 49ers definitely have a good shot.
Awesome stuff. Peter, thank you very, very much. Always a pleasure. No matter where you end up, travel safe and stay warm.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.